If you'd like a title, boldly, boldly believe. Turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verse 1. And remember that title, boldly, boldly believe. Psalms 103, verse 1. And just put a marker there because we will come back to it. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Heals all your diseases. When we heard all the prayer requests, and I just look out here, and I've seen so many people that have gone through so many things, and it's just something you can just dwell on and think about that. A couple weeks ago, I read through this verse with someone who's been going through a lot of different health issues over the years and has some new health issues. And now some of her friends have cancer that have, and they're young moms with kids and stuff. And when you read through this, she has hope in this verse, would love to be healed now. And you see in her eyes the tears welling up and just looking at this promise with so much hope and so much faith. And just makes you, when you see that in somebody, when they're really going through something at the moment, to call on this promise and ask for God to fulfill it sooner rather than later. We talked about so many people telling them different cures and different things you should do and not do, and people judging people about what cure they do try. And we was like, let's just read verses about God's promises of healing and forget about all the little antidotes and different ways people do. But it was just neat to be there for her in that moment and to talk with her and go through some verses. But it brought back memories of when one of my daughters was in the hospital for weeks. And Satan attacks your doubts, your fears late at night, at least with me. Whole house is quiet, and all the kids are asleep, and you're praying, and you're like, God, hear me now. Heal my daughter now, please. And you know Satan's attacking, and those doubts and those fears that, is he really listening? I mean, how long do you have to pray before there's action? And then right then you get an instant message on your phone. Why do I have my phone by me when I pray? I shouldn't probably, but someone sent me a text and it said, God doesn't always remove the trial, but he does walk us through it. And I hope you can feel my prayers. And you know, you're just so thankful that God inspired somebody to do that. Those things don't just happen. I hardly ever have my phone, you know, while I'm praying, just as a timer. Okay, I've done my 5 minutes, I'm done. No, just kidding. But you don't. And it just reminded me of that verse. She was there for me, reminding me that God is there for you. If we turn back to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Even though Satan wants you to feel alone, he does want you to remember his promises. Hebrews 13, verse 5, and we'll break into it just a little bit, into it, and it says, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, so we say with confidence that the Lord is my helper. He's also our healer. I will not be afraid of what man can do, mere mortals do to me. So my purpose today, I'd like to talk to you about what the Bible talks about healing and praying for healing. Does God still do miracles, you know, spontaneous? Yes, he does. Sometimes not as many as we want, but at the time. But God is considered the great physician. He can diagnose, he can heal you and have no side effects. And being a pharmaceutical rep, that's good. That's really good, way better than me or any of the medicines out there. But he's doing it every day around us. We don't know what illnesses he protected us from even getting. As soon as we got it, he healed us. We don't know. Somebody was like, oh, there's not all these healings going on. Well, sure, we had a ton of healings. There might be a lot of people that would come in for a little bit. And then, if there wasn't so many healings, then they'd go away. It's a great sign, but it doesn't sustain people. They have to have more than that. And you look back how joyful in verse 103, verse 3, it says, God who forgives all your iniquity, who heals your diseases, God loves doing that. Turn to Exodus, if you would. Another name for Jesus. Exodus 15, verse 26. And then towards the end of it, in Hebrew, it says, Yah Rapa. It means the Lord your healer. God is called there. The Lord your healer. It makes it personal when you look it up Hebrew and see what that really means. The commission of the church. Last time I talked about the commission of the church, and part of the commission of the church, if we go back to Mark 16, is healing. Mark 16, verse 15, we'll start there. Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, so go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes and with their hands, and then they drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. It's a part of the commission. God loves to see us go humbly, but boldly, and ask for that healing. And it brings glory to God when those do happen. And sometimes you do see those. Like I talked about Mrs. Ost, when she had a heart attack right in front of us, at the Winter Family Weekend, turned purple. They're trying to resuscitate her. It just looks like it's gone. We all prayed, and there's just a solemnness and a peace. And she's alive. She's back. Those kind of healings still do happen. By God healing us, it enables us to keep doing the work, to serving. When I've had bad back issues that come and go and stuff like that, I pray for. I love helping to move people. And the other weekend, we had the chance to move some people. And man, we had some heavy things. And going downhill is this great big video machine that the guy had made. And but God had healed my back enough so I could help and to do other work, to serve. God wants us to be healed. Spiritual healing happens every day all around us. Sometimes we're like, I haven't seen any miraculous physical healing. And we didn't have five announcements today of miraculous spiritual healing. I mean, physical healing today. You know, it was a lot of people that needed prayers. But every day when we're overcoming and we're asking God for forgiveness, those are spiritual healings. And that's way more than probably any of the physical healings that are happening right now. The Lord your healer. That's very, very personal, I think, when you think about God in that way. And God has the power to heal the entire body in every way, from spirit to physical to emotional to mentally. So I'd like to go into the first part of that is just spiritually. Right now, like I said, when we ask God for forgiveness, we're calling to be spiritually healed. And in Psalms 103, verse 1 through 3, like I was just at, it says, who forgives all your sins and heals all your disease, but forgives all your sins. That's a healing spiritually that's happening when he does that. And let's turn to Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our sins and iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and his stripes we are healed. You know, spiritually and physically, God, Jesus died for us. Verse after verse of a lot of spiritual healing. But there's also the physical healing God loves to heal us when it's best spiritually for us and others. He uses those. When we can learn spiritually, when we're going through health problems, developing God's character of patience and gratefulness, gratitude. All the times you were even healthier before, but how much closer, how much more prayer have we done when you're going through a sickness or someone you love is? You automatically do more. At least in my book and most people I know. But physical healing, look, Jesus loves to do it. Matthew 14, verse 14, please. Matthew 14, verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great magnitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed the sick. He's a personal healer. He feels our pain. He doesn't want us to be sick, but it's focusing on why we're going through it. What are we learning from it? Turn to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Where's our focus? Like goes, it tunes into a lot with what the sermonette was talking about. God hears our cries. In verse 19, 107 verse 19, then he cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And we're like his child. He has compassion for us. When we cry, he does listen. And so many times Satan's trying to make us think he isn't, just because we're not healed immediately. But we do have that promise. Other ways of healing is emotional healing. And that can leave scars, and but knowing God can help heal that. Turn to Psalms 34. Psalms verse 34. Going to wear out your fingers today, but just so much amazing verses about healing. And if those are in our brain and in our mind all the time, we're drawing closer to God. We have a peace while we're going through the worst trials. Psalms 34, verse 18. The Lord is near. He's not far. He is near to those who have a broken heart and saved such as have a contrite spirit. He's near. He's there for those people to help them through and to heal them through that broken heart. And to think about these and call on them when we are going through these emotional and ask God for that. Because God wants to heal in every aspect because it affects us. And also mentally, which I could use a lot of this. But, some people are like with anxiety, depression. Should I get anointed for that? Is it? Yeah. God wants to heal us. Those kind of things are a lot of times are hormone imbalances, other things like that. He can heal them like that with no medicine or with medicine. Turn to Daniel 4, verse 34, where it shows some mental healing. Daniel 4, verse 34, Nebuchadnezzar had gone crazy. And at the end, verse 34, Daniel 4, verse 34, and at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to the heavens, he prayed, and my understanding returned to me, his sanity. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. Came back from being pretty much insane, and God gave it back to him. He looked to God and he healed him. You know, Jesus healed every disease and sickness that he came upon, that came to him and asked him, that we see in the Bible. But every physical healing there. But, you know, that was that foreshadowing of how much more spiritual healing he was going to do to get their attention. God's promise of healing. God never lies. He's the same now and forever. And when God does a promise, he means it. What an awesome promise to be healed totally in all aspects, mentally, physically, spiritually, everything. As a part of our calling, being chosen by God, as a part of that relationship with God, Father through Jesus Christ, and a part of baptism, and a part of Passover service, all goes into the healing. It's included in our calling, this promise. Let's define what a promise is. If you look at vocabulary.com and look up the definition, you can find it in a lot of places. A promise is a commitment by one person to another, an agreement to do something in the future. It's an agreement to do something in the future. God has made a promise to heal you, you, me, every one of us, in every aspect. That agreement is between God saying, hey, at a future date, I will do something. I will heal you. It can be in a second, it could be in a couple years, months, weeks, or it could be when Christ returns, but he will heal you. It's not an if, he will. Let's go back to what I was talking about in Psalms 103, verse 1. I said, leave a marker if you could, if you have a marker. And we'll read it again. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise the holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our sins? Forgets all our sins. You know, the shedding of Christ's blood for the remission of sins. But he said, don't forget the benefits. One of the benefits is healing all, not some, but all our diseases. This is a benefit of following God's way of life, being called by him now, being obedient. Part of that process is not only forgiving sins, but part of this promise that sometimes we don't read that all in there is to heal all of us, all of our diseases. And verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit of crowns with love and compassion and satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. You know, you think about when your daughter gets out of the hospital, when you are given, hey, you're in remission of cancer, doesn't your heart soar like an eagle? Or you get goosebumps when you hear of a miraculous healing of a baby that's inside the mother, and they say, oh, all these defects, and it comes out and it's perfect. It just gives you goosebumps and your heart soars like an eagle because God wants that. These are the blessings that God wants to give us. It's a promise. There's an active change we are trying to do each and every day to become more like God, you know, being obedient in every way possible. He forgives our sins, he heals our diseases, and then he has compassion and watches our hearts soar. You know, his heart soars when he sees one of us, his loved ones, healed. God may say no to our timeline on healing. God may say no to that. And that is so, so hard. And you can't even imagine how hard it is until you are going through it at that time. It's so easy for me to say that right now since I'm not going through a major. But God may say no to our timeline that we want for that healing that we think we want. Don't give God a deadline because he will heal us when it's best for us spiritually and others around us. God took his time in the Old Testament with a barren couple, Abraham and Sarah. They had to wait 14 years for that promise of a son. That had to feel like eternity. Anybody that you've ever talked about, couples that have been struggling to have kids, a month, a week, every month is a struggle. 14 years. So let's turn to Romans 4 and read about his unwavering faith while waiting for this healing, for this restoration of him and Sarah's body to be able to have kids. It's 16, Romans 4, 16 through 25, but I'm going to skip down to verse 18. Even when there was no reason for hope, and I think we've all been there when your father, your mother, someone is going through excruciating trial of health, and you just feel sometimes desperate. There's no reason for help. It's inoperable cancer. It won't. There's no way to be healed. So when I see that, it says, I'll start the verse over. Even when there's no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him that that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken in the middle of this trial, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced God is able to do whatever he promises, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit, too, assuring us that God will also count us righteous if we believe in him, the one who has raised Jesus, our Lord. That's amazing. When you're going through a tough time, I mean, just to read through that and ask God, please give me some of this faith to help me through this. Whether it's you or your loved one, because it's hard on the person that's taking care of the sick one. But God's timing is not always our timing. It takes a lot of fasting and praying to totally surrender to God's timeline, to have that peace. It takes humility and readiness and say, I'm going to stop worrying. It's still going to be tough. I'm going to stop worrying. And I'm going to put this into God's hands to heal. Knowing that our best spiritual interest is at mine. What is God trying to teach me while I'm going through this? And having that peace that God is going to show me and it's going to help us. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 28. I think you heard this in the sermonette. It's great how God blends different things together, different messages. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All these things, we have no idea why certain things happen, why certain people get sick. And some are healed now and some aren't. But to ask God, please, with your Holy Spirit, guide me to understand this verse a little bit more, to have that kind of peace, to help us through when we're going through these kind of health problems. There is a master plan, because Satan, in those evenings when you're alone and you're praying and your loved one isn't getting better at that time, is going to be attacking. But when we stop worrying, we stop resisting, and we're submitting, saying, it's in your hands. I need your help. Jesus surrendered to God's purpose, you know, in Luke 22, verse 42. God's will be done, not ours. Luke 22, verse 42, before he was crucified, he had to be. But he prayed as an example. Luke 22, verse 42, and we'll start in verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Heal my daughter tonight, but not my will, but your will. Heal that person. I don't know if you saw that prayer request for the person that had the scooter accident that crushed part of his brain, his skull and stuff. It just, I think he just put it out just the other day. But just, I mean, the compassion, the empathy to think about, God, heal them now. Help that family to submit and have that peace to say, your will, God, whatever your will is, best. And not to get bitter over it. It's hard. People leave the church. People over things like this. And Satan knows where our weakness is. And he attacks it all the time, all the way to the end. But sometimes we focus too much on, you know, just the physical healing and not focus so much on the incredible spiritual healings that are happening every day. And when we focus on that a little bit more during the day, God did forgive me of my sins. God is helping me overcome. It helps me make that promise of, hey, he is going to heal us physically even more. He's doing these others. He's going to. And then sometimes there is that time where he's not going to do it. And you ask God for more of his mindset. If you turn to Psalms 116, verse 15. Having more of God's mental attitude towards the physical, towards this life. Psalms 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Sometimes they aren't healed. My dad wasn't healed. My mom wasn't healed. But they don't have to go through some of the things we're going to have to go through. Their next thought is their complete healing. And that gives you hope. That gives you inner comfort, knowing that when it happened, it's painful like crazy. But that's when so much of this world doesn't have this kind of hope. It's hard when it's a loved one, when it's a daughter, when it's a mate. But praying and rereading, saying, God, help me to be like Abraham, and my faith grow during this trial and grow closer. You know, sometimes people get so emotional. I was listening to a sermon about that. They were talking about a guy who had cancer and 21 years old and wasn't healed. And I was getting emotional about it. He had kids and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, it's feeling for him. And it's like some people get more emotional about somebody not getting physically healed than they do about someone not being spiritually healed. Someone who left the church over being offended, left the church over some other issue. Are we on our knees as hard, you know, crying out to God, praying, asking that God to repent and come back to church, come back to God? We have prayer requests for people that are going through all these physical sicknesses, and I've never seen a prayer request for members that have left and then are keeping Christmas and other things and have just left. And that is so much, that's eternal. If that was their chance and only God and them know. But when one saint returns, the angels, everybody, you just imagine how excited they get when they come back. And I have to be honest, sometimes I'm an emotional guy, I'm way more emotional for when someone, a child or someone's going through a sickness. And you gotta be thinking, keep your focus, like the sermon said, on the eternal spiritual condition. You know, we can hinder our healing. We can. God gives us this promise, this incredible promise, but we can hinder our healing, this process. And one of those is disobedience will affect our healing. That's not always the reason we're going through something, but turn to Exodus 15, verse 26. Someplace I always look first, though, because there's always something to work on. Exodus 15, verse 26. And he said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of these diseases that I've brought on Egypt. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am your healer. But if we're being disobedient, and it can be disobeying spiritual, physical, health laws, other things, which can cause those. There is a penalty. We may not be healed also because we're just not asking. And I'm not talking the most severe illness. Those are the ones we always ask for. But if you turn to James 4, verse 2, James 4, verse 2, I'm talking about those aches and pains sometimes and other little things that comes and it goes every once in a while. And have you ever prayed hard and gone to God and claimed this promise and said, God, help me with this? James 4, verse 2. You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Bring this promise up. God wants to help do the most miraculous thing, but even the medium thing God cares about. If your child or someone you care for, your mate comes to you, and can you help me in this little area? Yes, he wants to. But have we brought that to them? Our healing can be hindered through a lack of faith. Through a lack of faith. And it doesn't just take that, but it's somewhere to look at. And like we said, reading those scriptures about Abraham and asking God to have that. God wants us to have faith and total confidence. Matthew 9, verse 20. Please, if you turn there. Matthew 9, verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came out from behind and touched them with his garment. And for she said to him, "If only I have touched his garment, I shall be made well." And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Like that. She'd been struggling it for years and years, but she did have the faith. Totally. That all I have to do is just touch that, and boom, it's going to be done. You don't have to turn there, but Luke 17, verse 19, and he said to them, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." We can't please God without faith. We need to have that strong faith. That's a component of it. Turn to James 5, verse 15, though, if you would. James 5, verse 15. "And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will rise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." That's where we can help there too. Faith. When we know someone is going through something major, having that faith and praying for them and letting them know. When I got that message, that strengthened my faith, knowing I wasn't going through it alone. In the middle of the night, saying, "Hey, I'm praying with you. Do you feel my prayers?" And you do. Having that faith that your brothers and sisters with your prayer will help to heal them. And going before God boldly and confidently. And making sure we're not judging people if they're, you know, seeking certain medical treatment. That's not a sign of lack of faith. That's between them and God. Did they seek wisdom on what they were going to do? Did they ask first, you know, "God, help me through this illness"? Praying with them, like I said, going through the scriptures of God's promises, not focused on what is the physical cure. "Oh, have you tried this coffee enema? Have you tried this?" and all these other different things. Sorry, that was going through the church when I was a kid, unfortunately. But just wanted to wake you up there. You don't want to, never mind, we'll move on. But but it's God who ultimately does that healing. And sometimes it can isolate. And I've seen people, lack of faith, they're going too much medical. They're doing too much herbs, whatever route. People, we can judge them, but let's not. Let's be there for them, encourage them. Know that, hey, my faithful prayers, I'm praying for you. And these verses say those will help. Coming to God with timid prayers can cause that lack. We need to go before him boldly, boldly. Not cocky, but saying, "God, this is your promise. I'm asking for you to claim it now. But it's your will when you do it, because I know you will." Turn to John, 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, going before the throne. It's such a blessing to have that access. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Satan is the one that's in our prayers going, "He doesn't hear you. That's not going above your ceiling." No, he does. And his promise is that he will heal us. And we need to claim that and pursue it. Not just with one prayer. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 11 verse 6 I like a lot. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." This is Hebrews 11, 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe." If we're coming to him, we must believe. And when we totally believe, we'll have that peace. "For he is the rewarder of those who are diligently seek him," drawing close to him. That persistent prayer, that widow that just kept praying and praying. God can work out his plan a lot of different ways. And we keep coming to him and calling on this. If it's his will right then, it will happen. Also, church leaders can have an important part in healing. The elders, if we let them, and we exercise our faith through anointing and anointed cloths. So if we are sick, what would we do? What would we do if we're sick? The first step. It's neat when your own daughter sees somebody that's in an ambulance going by. Let's pray for them. First thing. That's what you want. You're like, well, no, sure. First we should do the tourniquet or whatever. No, no matter what. First thing, if it's in our brain that this promise is there, let's pray. As like, oh my, last night, all the different things. One daughter stepped on glass. One daughter had her finger in the smashed in the door. So her nail is black and blue. But what's our first thought? To go get ice, go get that, or, you know, first thought, boom. God, please help this not be too serious when you hear that scream and you don't know if it's a broken bones or two broken arms or whatever. It happens in our family sometimes. But it's that act of faith of calling the elder. That is not the elder that's doing it. You know, when Jesus said, put mud on your eyes, was it the mud that healed it? No, it's doing what Jesus said. And this is one of the commandments. Where God, not Ten Commandments, it's a commandment. James 5, if you go there, James 5, 13 through 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is there anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous avails much. Let's really look at this command here. It says, if anyone is sick, let's call the elder. Because when I was talking with this person, he's like, this got brought up. Why don't we just go to a friend? Why don't we just do something else? Well, when Jesus said, hey, go to the Jordan, did they go, I'd really rather go to the mommy. You know, it's a little cleaner. No. Really red clay, that's not my color. You know, can we do a darker clay? It stains. No. When God says it, it's a part of the submission. It's a part of the act of saying, I need you, God. I need you, and I'm going to follow what you say to do. Go to them. The command, and pray in faith that they will be healed. Have you ever heard, well, I've tried everything else. Now I'm going to try getting anointed. And sometimes we might not say it, but sometimes we might think it. It's like, well, I guess now I'll go. If it's disrupting your life, if it's a little, big, whatever, go. You know, sometimes people say self-healing, where you're cut. Do I go get anointed for a cut or something like that? Well, that's a miracle too. God made your body to heal itself. If it's something, infection comes in and you've tried a Band-Aid and stuff, yeah, go. If it's just a little cut that God made your body to heal, you don't have to get an anointing for that. But if you want one, you can. You're going to God and claiming this promise. Going before the elders with that little bottle of oil that's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Some people use a little. I use the big bottle so you really can feel it. So when you leave, they know your whole body. No, just kidding. Might be a reason people don't go to me that much. But it's not the person. It's the position God has put, and both people's faith help, because it shows a prayer of faithful avails much, but it's an expression of faith to go to the elders and say, I need God's help. I am going to listen and do his command. People are healed when they don't go, a lot. But God holds you accountable and everybody accountable to what we know. And he says that faithful avails much. And if some people don't really know or think about being anointed, that's one thing. But if it's a command, think about it. Make sure we are utilizing this so this promise can come out totally. Some people seek medical treatment, and we should for certain things and everything. And when you're going through this and waiting to be healed, it's not a lack of faith to go and get diagnosed and find out exactly what is happening. And some people say, oh, they're doing this treatment. It's a lack of faith. But Dr. Ward did a sermon. He's like, you know, God promises to provide for all our needs. When we pray for that, we still go to work to get money. God promises to provide for us. You know, if we need rain, we pray for rain for our crops, but if we have irrigation, we're still going to do that. If we're praying for healing while we're waiting, and we're asking God to guide us which path of medical or no medical, what to do, you know, that's not a lack of faith. And only God knows, and you know, if it's a lack of faith, I'm really just doing the other, but I have all my faith in the medical or the herb. No. But just remember that. It was a neat little analogy to say, it's not a lack of faith to seek medical help. And growing up in the church in the past, you know, through the years, sometimes it's been viewed that way a little bit. Both healing and suffering can serve a higher purpose. That's what it's there for. If you turn to Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9, God allows us, and has been allowing a lot of us to go through a lot of suffering health-wise in so many ways, and you don't understand why. And we have a physical mind. The Holy Spirit's working with us, but all of us at different degrees. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor yours my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Sometimes when you're going right through the middle, you're like, well, that just tells me. Sometimes I'm not going to totally understand. But asking God for that faith, saying there is a reason, there is something that I'm developing character, or you're going to use it as a witness. Or if I didn't go through this, maybe I'd be the wild child and I would have left the church a long time ago. But it's humbled me to have had this. Fervent prayer to God, asking Him to strengthen our faith, helping us to learn from this verse and say, hey, show me why I'm going through this. Why my loved ones are going through this. Help me. You know, to develop that patience, to become more like you each and every day in our obedience to God, trying to become more like Him. God wants to heal us. Have you ever heard, I know God will heal me if it's His will? If it's His will. No, God's will is always to heal us. It's if it's His will to do it now, right this second. But sometimes we don't add that on there. Sometimes we just keep saying, if it's His will, if it's His will. And you know, then all of a sudden it's like, does God really want us all to get well? Yes, He does. Turn to Matthew 8, verse 1. Turn to Matthew 8, verse 1. And that's in His promise. And Matthew 8, verse 1, when the leopard came to Him. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed Him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Him and said, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. If You're willing, I know You can make me clean. And the word willing here means to take delight in, to have pleasure, to love to do so. And Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. I am willing, He said. Be clean. Immediately He was cleansed of His leprosy. God does want to heal us. He doesn't want to see us going through suffering and things like that. And we can also pray, God, teach us if there's a certain spiritual lesson, something that You want us to learn, so then maybe we can be through this. But whatever Your will, deep down, our spiritual salvation is ultimate. But asking God, can You heal me and still let me learn the spiritual lesson? He's listening. He hears every word, every cry that we say. Sometimes we have different levels of faith towards different ones of God's promises. When we're thinking about God forgiving our sins, usually we're like, getting down on our knees, we pray, God, please, you know, forgive us. And we get up off our knees and we're like, totally believe with all your being, God has forgiven me through Christ's sacrifice. You don't go, if it's Your will to forgive me, if You want to, or when you get a chance, you know, it's not that way. And sometimes we accidentally say that when we're thinking about being healed physically. When we have that promise of God's kingdom and eternal life, do we say, if it's Your will, you know, we'll still do that kingdom thing? Is it Your will if You want to still do that? No, when we're praying for Christ's kingdom and that faith and knowing that it is coming, we have a huge amount of faith. But when it comes to our physical, sometimes gets in our brain if you want to now, if you decide to. But deep down, it's on his timeline. But sometimes we're saying things verbally, and it can affect our faith because we don't mean it like that. But we have to remind ourselves, God wants to, with his utmost being, to heal us totally in every aspect. The ultimate healing awaits at Christ's return, you know? Revelations 21, verse 4. If you'll turn there. Death brings the ultimate healing when we're resurrected, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, like was at our house a lot last night. There will be no more pain, for the former thing hath passed away, you know, in his kingdom. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 55, verse 57, you don't go there, but I'll just read it. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks to God who gives victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to have ultimate victory over all healing, turned into spiritual healing. All that pain and disease wiped away. Let's always remember the incredible price God the Father himself paid through Jesus Christ's sacrifice to make us whole. Our healing is an amazing miracle. God gave his only son, his creator, to be beaten, to be scourged beyond recognition so we could be healed physically, so that promise could happen, but also spiritually. Don't lose faith in God's promise of healing if he doesn't answer right now on our timeline. When we get up from that anointing, if our knee is still hurting, that's when the faith really begins. I've come to you. I've obeyed what you've said. If it's your will now, I know you'll do it. Boldly, boldly believe in God's promise that he will heal us. And when God blesses us with that divine healing, and he will, each of us at different times, God is going to be so joyful. We'll be joyful like that soaring eagle. Our hearts will be. But go to God after each one of those healings and thank the Lord, your healer and my healer. Thank him every day for all the little things, but also the big healings.